If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 6. Now, I've got a lot of ground to cover tonight to get where I want to go. And Deuteronomy is one of the books of the Old Testament that I really love studying, speaking on, and it, there's so much here as far as biblical principles that we can apply to our lives. And it gives you, if you will, an insight on God and who He is. And, you know, if it pleased God in the Old Testament, surely it's got to please Him in the New, because He's a never-changing God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 23 here in just a minute, but let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I never feel worthy, but Lord, it's Your word, it's Your work, and I'm just a messenger boy. So I pray tonight, Lord, that You would bless those that are here. And Father, I pray that You would put a watch about my lips that I might not say something that I ought not to. Lord, I thank and praise You for the privilege to be here tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we enter this portion of the book of Deuteronomy. And a lot of the book of Deuteronomy is recapping of the previous chapters and books concerning their 40 years in the wilderness. And it leads right up into the book of Joshua. And in a good portion of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is reminding the children of Israel what they've gone through, where they've been, where they came from, and where they're headed. And so we enter this portion of the scriptures with the children of Israel's journey through the wilderness. And it's toward the end of the life of Moses. And Moses is expounding on or reminding everybody about, you know, on the previous chapter, or actually earlier verses in chapter 5, he's expounding upon the Ten Commandments. And he's, I'm gonna say this, you know, the years ago when I lived in Arizona, they made a law that you could not shed water from your property to another person's property, because I forget what year it was, early 80s. We had a great flood. The dams were about to break, and they just released all the water that they could out of the dams of the lakes and the upper lakes, and it comes down the Salt River, and it washed out all the bridges but one bridge. And they determined that the reason that they released this water should have been able, the river should have been able to handle it, except for the fact that all of the water from the surrounding neighborhoods in the valley, it all goes down to the Salt River. And it flooded and washed it out. So they says, well, we're not going to let you build anymore unless you retain your own water. And so what that did was, upon that one law, you had other laws that they made because of that. We're going to call them precepts. And it's all because of one law. So they, as they begin to implement this law, each area is basically Maricopa County that was the leader of that and forcing the cities to retain their water. You couldn't even put a new roof on your house unless you regraded and put in, well, I shouldn't say your house. First, they started with the commercial buildings. And you could not re-roof your roof unless you regraded your parking lot and put in dry wells to retain the water. And so those were precepts based on the one law. And so we'll find that through the book of Deuteronomy, Moses expounds upon that. And he begins to enlighten a greater deal of what God had commanded. And you know, Pastor Scott has mentioned the Torah, I think it is. It's the Torah for dummies. Well, those are precepts based on the law. And so you begin to start making up different rules as you go along because of the one law. And so Moses is finishing the Ten Commandments here. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 23. It says, "And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders." You see, it came to pass. He's referring to the event that had already happened. And the event that had already happened is when they were in the mount, and God had called Moses up and said, "Bring the elders up, and I will speak to them." And in verse number 24, he says, "And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk to man, and he liveth." See, the children of Israel, they had seen the glory and greatness of God. They've seen the glory and greatness of God. And the heads of the children of Israel has heard God speak from the midst of the fire. And they saw the fire that burned but did not consume. Remember the burning bush? Moses was on the mount and he saw this bush that was burning, but it didn't consume the bush. Well, they said there was fire on the mountain, and it's the same thing. It didn't consume. And we as children of, you know, of Christians, if you will, we as Christians, we should have that burning desire within us to please our Lord God. Amen. Amen. And this burning is unlike the burning of wickedness that we see in Isaiah 9:18. It says, "For the wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and the thorns, and shall kindle in the thickness of the forest, as they shall mount up like the lifting of smoke." What he's saying there is that fire, that burning consumed. But the burning that God gives us doesn't consume. You see what I'm saying? We're not consumed by it. But we should have that burning desire within us to please our Lord God. And so this burning, it fuels or motivates us to be warriors for Christ. So if you have that burning desire within you that I'm talking about, it motivates you to be a warrior for Christ. It motivates you to live your life that is pleasing to God. It motivates you to want to get closer to God, to know God, so that your life might please God. And so, this burning also causes us to die to the flesh. If you have this desire that I'm talking about, that God planted in each and every one of you, If you're here and you're born again, you're saved, there's that burning desire that was put in you. Now, some people, that burning desire, the fire has been quenched. Quench not the Holy Spirit, right? But some people have allowed that desire and that burning to be quenched. But when I got saved, there was something in me that wanted to please God. And I found out that in order for me to please God, I had to die to myself. Right? We have to die to the flesh. And this burning desire that I'm talking about in me and in you should cause you to want to live a Christian life, which means you have to die to self. And verse number 25 says, "Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die." See, the children of Israel was worried that they were going to die from this fire, this consuming fire. And see, they didn't want to be consumed by this fire. Now, if this fire could consume me, I would want to be consumed by this fire. I really do. I want to be burnt, that burning desire within me to just kindle more and more and more. See, they didn't have that kind of desire in their hearts to serve God His way. See, the children of Israel come out and they said, "No, Moses, wait a minute. We're not going back there, man. I'm not going back up there with you." I'm probably going to get ahead of myself here if I'm not careful. But see, they didn't want to die to flesh. They didn't want to die to flesh. We find that out because of the incident that took place when Moses was up in the mountain, got the Ten Commandments. It's all because they didn't want to die to their flesh. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to be a part of that. And so Moses was the mediator between them and God. There's a lot of Christians today don't want to die to flesh. Paul says, "I die daily." And Pastor Connors told me years ago, he says, "Now, young man, you just remember one thing. That flesh wants to get off the altar every morning." Right? It wants to get off the altar every morning. Every morning I get up, man, it wants to get off that altar. It really does. And as I said before, you know, the flesh never got saved. If you're saved, that's great. Your soul is what lives on. We can put on a glorified body, right? So this old flesh doesn't get saved. Paul said, "That which I do, I would not. And that I would, I do not." Goes on to say that it is no longer I that live. I mean, I lost my train of thought there. It's no longer I that sin, but sin that dwelleth in me. All right. So Paul says, "I do the things that I wouldn't do. And I don't do those things which I ought to." Because it's the flesh never got saved. It's sin that dwells in me. And sin is always fighting and battling with God and His Word. And the first place that my flesh always wants to battle me is in the morning when I get up. Well, I'll tell you what, if I had a nickel for every time Satan put something in my way so it would stop me from reading my Bible, first thing I do is get my coffee and read my Bible. It's just a habit. If I don't do that, it's me. Some people have, you know, a better way of doing it. But if I don't sit down in the morning and read my Bible, and I'm talking about just reading. I'm not talking about studying. I'm talking about just simply reading a chapter. If I don't start there, I don't study. I can read later, and I will. I might read it at noon or something like that, but I never get that study. And so when I'm reading my Bible in the morning, it leads me, prompts me to begin to look at other passages concerning that. And it becomes a study more than just reading my Bible. Bible, we're supposed to read, but we're also supposed to study. In Deuteronomy 5:26, Who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You know, we as Christians, born again believers, we can say that, you know, who is it that has heard that voice of God in us? Right? The lost can't hear that voice. The only thing that the lost person hears is the call to salvation. That's it. And if they don't accept that call to salvation, well, they lose out on a great opportunity. See, only God's people get the privilege to hear the voice of God and have that burning desire that God puts in us. Back in this passage, it was only the children of Israel that got the privilege and ability to hear the voice of God and live. And they didn't capitalize on that. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Now, the charismatic carries that burning fire and the hearing the voice of God to a whole nother level. I mean, they do. I don't need to go into it. It's contrary to what Scripture teaches me. But there's that burning desire within me. When I got saved, I told this story many times. There's a couple friends of mine I played with every day. The next day after church on Sunday, after I got saved, I went out. They were in the corner, and Daryl Ridge and Terry Prophet, I'll never forget them. And I began to tell them how they needed to get saved. I had that burning desire within me. Right? Brother Andy's daughter has that burning desire to share the gospel with somebody. And that burning desire was in me. And I couldn't wait to tell my friends I wanted them to get saved. And they took either cotton or toilet paper, whatever they had in their pockets, whatever, and they started stuffing their ears. And I kept saying, listen, you either need to get saved or you're going to hell. Well, I don't think Daryl Ridge ever got saved. Terry Prophet went to church with me a couple times, but his mom, I understood later, I ran into Steve, and Steve told me, Terry, you wouldn't know him today. He's on fire for God. I said, praise the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord for that. Deuteronomy 5:27 says, go thou near and hear all the Lord our God shall say. All that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto. Let me read it out of my Bible here. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people which have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. All that they were such a heart in them. Only if their words, what he's saying. Only if there was a heart in them. That they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. Amen. You see, sin will keep us from hearing God. God is saying, oh, you know, he gave them an opportunity. Call, if you will, to salvation. Call unto them. And they rejected it. No, you go. So many people today, they want Pastor Scott to bring them a message. And oh, they'll hear Pastor Scott, but they won't hear God. They won't read their Bible. They won't study their Bible. They'll show up on Sunday morning. Don't give them credit. You know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They do that. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody here, I see here every Sunday. I see them every Wednesday. And praise the Lord. But there's those that don't have that same desire. They want Pastor Scott to tell them what God says. And Paul said, spoke well of the Bereans. And each and every one of us should be a Berean, right? We should go home and see if what Pastor Scott told us is really true. Right? Don't just depend on the man speaking to bring you God's word and hope that he's correct. See, God wants our heart. You see there, he says, oh, that there were such a heart in them. And I venture to say there's people right here at Woodside Baptist Church that God would say, oh, if there were only a heart in them. And I could go from church to church to church around the United States, and the older I get, the worse it gets. And I can almost hear God saying, oh, if there was only a heart in them. See, Israel was happy with head knowledge, but they didn't want to serve him with their hearts. Oh, you go and hear God and come and bring us and tell us what he has to say. We want that knowledge, but we ain't going to give him our hearts. Now, we know this if we read the whole book, right? I'm not just pulling this up and making this up as I'm speaking. You can read the whole book, the whole Bible. You read the whole account of Israel through Deuteronomy and through Exodus through Deuteronomy, and you can see what I'm talking about is true. The people that came out of Egypt did not go into the Promised Land. Only two did. Only two, Caleb and Joshua. And Joshua was that young man that was with Moses in the temple and would not leave after Moses had left. He couldn't get enough of God. But Israel was happy with just a head knowledge. Oh. How many people do we know that has a great head knowledge, but it's missed it by 18 inches? Me, it's only about 8 inches. But, but you see, it's up here, but it never makes it down to here. Right? Oh, only if they had a heart. See, there's lots of people who have heard the knowledge of God but have never surrendered their life to him. There's people come every Sunday. They come every Sunday. They go to church every Sunday. But they've never surrendered their hearts to him. Pastor Connors used to tell me, you know, he's Pastor Crabtree. You know, I think he's partly my hero because he reminds me so much of Pastor Connors. He was half Choctaw Indian or whatever, and about your height and your stature and just your demeanor. A lot about you reminds me of him. But he always said, you know, you just teach the people to love the Lord. And if you teach them to love the Lord, you'll have no problem with them open up their pocketbook. Right? Amen. They don't want to surrender their heart to the Lord. Israel had a heart problem. I joke and I kid. I get people say, you know, I went to the doctor and, you know, was having some complications and, you know, they did all these tests on my heart, and everything. And I called my mom up when she wanted to know what the results were. And I said, well, Mom, good news and bad news. She says, well, what's the good news? And I says, they said they couldn't find nothing wrong with my heart. And the bad news is they couldn't find a heart. She said, Kenny, I'm going to kill you. But in verse number 30, well, let me back up just a minute. You also see here that there's a reward that comes from serving God. There is a reward that comes from serving God that the children of Israel missed out on. See here in verse number 30, it says, go say to them, get you into your tents again. What he's telling the children of Israel, tell Moses, just send them back to their tents. Or should I say, their old way of life. Just send them back. See, Israel blew one of the greatest opportunities of their life. I really believe that. Now, I'm not going to try to read something into the Bible it's not saying, and don't, you know, take this the wrong way. But I really believe in my heart of hearts that on that mount that day, if the children of Israel would have listened to the call of God, they would have made it through into the promised land. I do. I believe they had the opportunity to hear God, but they passed up on that opportunity. They blew one of the greatest chances or opportunities of their life. And the children of Israel's had paid for it ever since. Israel was sent back to the law, if you will. Sent them back to their tent. They don't want to come in here and get grace and find favor in my sight. Sent them back to the law. So there's a difference between a law and a commandment. I'm not going to get into that. The law, you go back to the Levitical law and all the things that they had to do. The commandment says, thou shalt not steal. There's commandments that was made upon, you know, had, was given because of the law. Don't get me wrong. In verse number 31, but as for thee, see, God says, send them back. But as for thee, stand you here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and statutes and judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside, you know, to the right hand or to the left. What he's saying is you must obey the commandments of God. You must obey God as he has commanded. And this means we can't vary. This means that we cannot vary even to the slightest from God's commandments. What did they say about the prophet say to Saul? To disobey is what? See, he partially obeyed the commandments. Only partially. Ye shall walk in all the ways, in verse 33, which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. See, God tells Moses that we must live the life that is pleasing to him. Right? Ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. And God indicates that we will have a longer life if we will obey him. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to live to, you know, to 180 because you've been such a righteous Christian. I think God takes some of the Christians home early because he, you know, as he did Enoch. Right? Enoch walked with God and was no more. God brings his people home when he wants to bring them home. In verse number 33, and ye shall walk in all the ways that the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong the days which the land in the land which ye shall possess. Verse number 1 of chapter 6. Now I'm going to say this. The reason I back up is because it leads into chapter 6. Understand the chapter headings is only there for our benefit. The writers put them there. So there's not a change of thought here yet. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you, that you may do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Papers must be damp, it wants to stick. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. See, to fear God is to keep his commandments. See, that thou mayest, he says there, back up here just a minute, says, now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it, semicolon, that thou mayest fear the Lord. Pastor Scott brings out the fact that God implemented tithings to teach us to fear him. And he says here that thou mayest fear God. Right? The commandments is for us, for our own good. Someone who doesn't keep God's commandments does not have the fear of God. They just simply lack fear of God. Right? So you see somebody that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they begin to live a life that's not pleasing to God. You show me that individual. You bring him here, and I will show you the very same individual that has no fear of God. People have told me in the past, you have a God that stands over you with a hammer and just beats you in the head. And I say, no. No. I have that kind of fear for God. But I also have the respect of fear for God. The reverence for God. And if you have that kind of fear that God is going to punish me, chastise me, for doing wrong, which that is the God that I serve, the very same God that gave me grace and gave me salvation, is the same God that chastises me because I'm not a bastard. And that same God says, okay, you disobeyed me. Now you're going to pay the consequences for it. It goes back to free will. Hear therefore, O Israel, in verse 3, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land flowing with milk and honey. God promises us through his scriptures, through his word, through the Bible, that if we obey him, our lives will be much better off. People say, oh, it's living a Christian life is a tough life. They're absolutely right. It's a tough life. Anything worth having isn't easy. And living for God is not easy. But I promise you, the easy way out is going to lead to destruction. It's every single time. I've known a lot of people made a lot of mistakes in their life. And if only they had a heart to serve Him, they would not had to have suffered the consequences of their behavior. And I promise you, God, the punishment fits the crime. God is a just God. I can look at my own life. Now, I'm so passionate about these scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy because they're principles that we must live by. No, I'm not bound by the law. I'm under grace. But if I want to please God, I better understand what pleases Him. Now, 6 through, I'm trying to get to verse number 12 at the end of the day here. I'm going to be skipping a lot of these verses because if I don't, I'll probably preach on them. But I'll try to read them and not stop. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's another verse for Trinity for you. Sunday school classes. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Now, I struggle there. I'm not going to deny it. I struggle here. Loving God with all my soul and with all my might. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Oh, wait, I missed 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Oh, Israel, if only Israel had a heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house in thy gates. You know, it is a good thing. Marietta will do it. She'll leave a verse around for the boys to see. Maybe put it on their mirror in their bathroom. Sometimes refrigerator. We should be posting them in our house. Verses everywhere. You walk into my house, first thing you're going to see is something on my door. So as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And anytime I've had any problem with anybody in my house, Mark and James can contest to this, I always tell them, go look at that front door. If you're going to live in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As long as you're living in this house, you're going to serve the Lord. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We see through history how God has sold Israel back into bondage, brought them out of bondage, put them back into bondage, brought them out of bondage, back into bondage, brought them out of bondage. This is a warning God is warning Israel. He's warning us about prosperity. I'm telling you, beware. I've heard Pastor Scott say a few times things about prosperity, how you handle prosperity. I think is the way he put it. God is warning Israel about prosperity. See, when we live in godly cities, or goodly cities, I wrote godly, I think, goodly cities that we did not labor for. You see, Pastor Scott talks about the first generation, second generation, then the third generation, how they get further and further away from God. And the kids coming up now today in America, they're living in these good cities, these beautiful cities that they didn't labor for. They didn't shed 1 ounce of blood for it. They're living in a country that they never shed blood for. I think one of the biggest mistakes our country probably has made is getting rid of the draft. Because the people that serve in the military and serve this country comes out with a different opinion about our country. We see a nation divided today. And it's not getting any better. Satan knows that he wants to bring down the only nation under God. And how's he going to do it? A nation divided amongst itself should not stand. And we're living in a generation now that has not shed any blood for these cities that we have. They have houses full of good things that they did not labor for. Average age now is 30-some years old that kids are living with their parents. They come out of college and still live at home. Man, my mom kicked me out of the house when I was 13 years old. Really, I deserved it. But I've been living on my own since I was 16. And we have kids that are living at home in their 30s. They don't know how to be men. They don't know how to be wives. They don't need to know how to be husbands. They don't know how to be fathers. They don't know how to be mothers. Right? They don't know how to be those things. Well, I tell you, boy, this generation coming up, you ask them to do anything, and man alive, it's like pulling teeth. God forbid that you should ask them to go labor. I'm telling you, I've heard when I was hiring, young kids, and their mother would say, he shouldn't be doing that kind of labor. What do you mean? I was doing that labor when I was 16. Your boy's 19. What do you mean he shouldn't be doing that kind of labor? See, we want to give our kids, and it comes with that mentality that we want to give our kids. I'm going to keep pushing on, or I'm not going to get finished. But we keep wanting to give our kids more than what we had when we were younger. Right? And that's been going on for how many generations? To now that the kids have this entitlement attitude, that they're entitled to things. Right? What makes them feel like they're entitled? Well, they live in houses that they didn't build, right? Houses full of good things that they didn't labor for, drinking from wells dug that they did not dig, vineyards of olive trees which they did not plant. You go to the grocery store, all you gotta do is pull off that little plastic card that's, it's dad's credit card, don't worry about it, he'll pay for it. And just, put whatever they want on that plastic card. Boy, they don't go hungry in this country. And not a one of them working out there in the fields to harvest it. Not a one of them out there working in the fields to plant it. And it's real easy to put that little plastic card. And I'm not here to pick on anybody, but I've never had anything given to me. I've earned it. I've earned it. It says, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full. You see, they lived in cities they didn't labor for. Houses, living in houses full of good things that they didn't work for. Wells dug that they didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which they did not plant. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full. You see, prosperity has been the downfall of many, many nations, if not all. The more that we have, the less we need God. And our nation has so much. People say, where has our nation gone? Why? How did we get here? Well, I'll tell you how we got here. Because the younger generation hasn't worked for what they got. They haven't labored for it. It's been handed to them on a silver platter, and they have no need for God. See, and when we begin to prosper, we tend to become unthankful. When we begin to get blessed with prosperity, we begin to become unthankful. Serious. Oh, I've got all these things. And you know, let me tell you. Thanksgiving is the cure for unthankfulness or ungratefulness. God warns us that when we begin to have all of these things, that we'll become unthankful. And we as a nation have become unthankful. As a whole. I'm not picking on individuals, I'm talking society as a whole. How many do you know that have no need of God? They're not thankful. Ungrateful. Just ungrateful. I can tell you many people in the Philippines that missionaries supported from America to become ungrateful for what you've done for them. They get that entitlement attitude. Why? Because they're living in houses they didn't build. They're, you know, why? And here they're living in a third world nation and they have all this stuff handed to them. You got to be aware of that. And so we as a nation can be ungrateful. Now I'm going to read something that I read. It says, a farmer went to visit relatives in the city. At mealtime, as was his custom, he bowed his head to give thanks for his food. The sophisticated people in the city found that amusing and told the old farmer that they no longer observed that custom. The farmer replied, well, not everyone out on the farm gives thanks before eating either. And the people of the city says, well, who doesn't thank God? Or who doesn't ask for thanks? And the farmer replied, the hogs. You see, the moral to that story is when you begin to depend on God for what you have or about to get, you become thankful when you get it. But when you have things that were just handed to you and you're not dependent on God for them, you become unthankful. So in recap, I want to just say this, and Pastor will come. When God begins to bless us, we are most vulnerable to be unthankful. We are. And we must guard ourselves against unthankfulness. Right? We must guard ourselves. As I pray, the pastor will come. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and honor to be here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for what you laid upon my heart. Lord, I thank and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.